So as Eric and Ryan and Dan make their way up to the front, I feel the spring in the air in this room, so that's awesome. I am going to pray, give some brief introductory comment, and then hand it over to Ryan and Dan for the bulk of our time. So please, won't you bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you for drawing us together as brothers and sisters in Christ here, as the body, as the family that you've drawn here at La Crescent Free. We are so thankful, so grateful what you've done here over the years, what you continue to do here in 2020, and what you will be doing here through us, with us, in us, into the future. And Father, I just ask that this time be a family time, a conversation really about what you've laid on our hearts as elders, but also as on the hearts of the people, your people. And Lord, I pray that we speak well, we listen well, and that you are glorified in our time. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to set the bar for our time here. This is really kind of a recap of what we talked about, what we worked through at our retreat in December down at Village Creek. As such, Ryan's got some notes that he's going to go walk through, and he's going to walk through a process, kind of come to the punchline towards the end. But as I set the level set a little bit, as we talk about vision isn't necessarily a blueprint for the next 10 years. So if that's your expectations, lower them a little bit. We're going to kind of set a trajectory where we think we're going to be going, what we think we want, where God is leading us into the future, and what we see as the next, immediate next steps. But we don't have a plan for year 10 in June. So June 2030, we don't have a definite plan for what we're going to be doing then, just so everybody understands. So with that, I'm going to hand the mic over to Ryan. He's going to walk us through some of what we did down in Village Creek, how we came to the conclusions we came to, and then Dan will talk us through some of the immediate next steps and talk about a sabbatical, which fit together.
So as John said, we had our elder retreat back on December 13th and 14th at Village Creek. And just so to give you a little insight about what we do on our elder retreat, so there is a lot of time focused in on prayer. Not only praying for the church, but also praying for one another and just having time in fellowship together. Even though we are together for sure twice a month on Tuesday nights, there's obviously a lot of business and things like that that we need to get through. And so it's good to have this focused time to be together, not only pray for you, but also to just talk life with one another, pray with one another, and just see how God is moving and how we can continue to lift each other up and encourage one another in the ministry and just in our walks with Christ, our families, things of that sort. So a lot of that happened, and that was a great time. Something else that happened is that we did an assessment of our 2018 retreat and goals. And so we had definite things that we wanted to accomplish this year. And one of the great things is there are a lot of things that we did accomplish. And then yet there are still other things that we're looking at saying, okay, we haven't accomplished that completely, and yet there are still things that we want to pursue. And just to give you some of those things, we wanted to continually emphasize prayer. And one of the things that we have now is the pre-service prayer that happens before first service, people gathering downstairs in the prayer room to pray for the message that's about to be preached, to pray for the church as a whole, how God's going to move, how the gospel's going to go forth in our community, and praying for our nation, our leaders, and just all sorts of things that happen. And so that's a huge praise to have that started, to have that going, and to see more and more people even engage in it. It's fun coming here early, and you see people showing up, like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm here for prayer. And then going downstairs to be a part of that. So that's a great thing. We also took some greater steps. We talked about this coming out of our last retreat, the desire to define our mission statement a little bit better and to have a greater understanding amongst us first as elders about what that actually means, and then to be able to bring that forward to you guys. So we've taken some good steps to get parts of that defined. We haven't rolled it out yet because we're not done, But we have taken steps to get parts of those things defined. And just to even give you like a little insight, one of the things that we worked through is when we say that we're a Christ-centered church, what does it mean, right? What does that mean to be Christ-centered? And so we realized, like, hey, we all have ideas of what that means, but we needed to work through that. And so our hope is to do more of that, and then once we're done with it, to then roll it out to you guys for review. We've had a greater emphasis on town hall meetings. One of the things that we wanted to do is increase our communication with the congregation, not just at our annual and biannual meeting, but in other times. Times not only where we can say, hey, here's what we've been doing as elders, but times for you to say, hey, I've got some thoughts or I have questions. And so we feel like we've increased our town hall meetings, and that's been great. And then also, one of the things that we've talked about is just the need for greater definition on not only terms, but also issues. And over the last year or 2 years, we've had the opportunity to be able to do that. One, in our stances on basically the LGBT issue. And so we, again, have put that in our bylaws and constitution. But then also on what we've talked about is the women teaching document. Now, obviously, we haven't rolled that out yet. And one of the reasons we haven't is because Dan's going on sabbatical. And so we felt like that wouldn't be great to do while he's gone. And so we want to make sure that everybody's here for that. So you will be hearing more about that in the fall. So those are just a few things that we really feel like God did over the last year, things that we were excited about, and yet realizing that we still also have areas to pursue. One is in particular... Oh, I was like, what are you pointing to? Yeah, he's up here. it's just greater congregational feedback. You know, a lot of times we just assume that we have the pulse of the congregation, and yet we had to sort of admit to one another that maybe we don't. And so that's one of the areas that we feel like we still need to grow in, is just getting more feedback from you guys about, one, how do you feel like the church is going? How do you feel like we as elders are doing? I mean, it's not nice to hear that you're not doing well, but yet we want to know that. Like, if we're missing it somewhere, we just ask that you'd be gentle in your responses. So that's one area. Two, better leadership development, not only with men, but also with ladies. We realize that we have not done a great job at always developing people to do the work, the ministry. And so that's definitely an area of focus for us moving forward. And then lastly, just thinking bigger than our four walls. We sort of, as we took an assessment of this last, of our 2018 goals and even just our church as a whole, we realized that very often the things that we are trusting God for are really small. And yet we serve a big God, and we want to trust him for big things, for a movement of the gospel that's just way bigger than we could ever imagine. And so, again, those are some areas that we felt like God is still calling us to pursue. After that, we did sort of a mission statement and values review. And really, the whole idea behind that was just to say, here's our mission statement, here's our values. Do we still agree with them? Which seems like, well, duh, of course, but... A lot of times, if you don't ask that question, maybe you've sort of shifted a little bit, and yet maybe you need to recenter. So we did that. We still believe that the mission statement we have and our values are what we want to pursue. These are our values on the wall here, if you didn't know that. And then also our mission statement is this, that we exist to bring glory to God in all things by making disciples through Christ-centered worship, Christ-centered community, Christ-centered service, and Christ-centered multiplication. And again, we've worked through some of that, but we still have more of that to define. However, in particular, one important thing that we did with our mission statement was to identify what's the center of our mission statement. And I already know that some of you are going to be like, glorify God. Well, duh. That's like the Jesus Sunday school answer, right? Jesus and the Bible, right? We know that. And we absolutely want that to be at the center of what we do. But we also believe that within our mission statement, there's a central action that God has called us to. And we believe that that central action is to make Christ-centered disciples. right? So how do we bring glory to God in all things by making Christ-centered disciples? And so what we did is we sort of took the center of that making Christ-centered disciples, and we started to think about and pray about and discuss, how does God want us to accomplish that over the next 5 to 10 years? And as we started down that process, we asked this question. We asked, what do we want La Crescent Free to look like in 10 years? And we came up with some of these following answers. That La Crescent Free would be a multi-generational church that loves Jesus deeply and desires to exalt him widely in the local community and world. And if that sounds really good, like, yeah, that's a really good sentence. That was Steve Thompson. He's good at those. He's so good at those. To be known as a church that accomplishes everything through Christ and prayer. To be a church that fights above its weight, meaning that we step out in faith. We trust God for big things. We're thinking bigger than the four walls. That we would be a neighborhood church, right? That we would be a church that is in La Crescent for La Crescent, right? Because we exist here. We want to be for this neighborhood. And that we would be an equipping and sending church, a church that puts a heavy emphasis on equipping people for the work of the ministry and then sending them out locally and globally to do that work. So those are some of the main things that we came up with, but then the question is, like, how do we synthesize that all together? Like, what does that actually look like in practical application? It was really amazing. As we prayed about this, as we discussed it, we really felt like God gave us this amazing unified vision as elders, and really something that I think at the outset, I don't think any of us thought we would have probably come up with, and it is this, that we believe that God is calling us to be a church that plants Christ-centered local churches. Let me say that again, that we believe that God is calling us to be a church that plants Christ-centered local churches. This means that we believe God is calling us to be a church that makes Christ-centered disciples locally here in La Crescent, but also equips others to plant churches in their local towns and the places that you guys live, right? We have lots of people from Onalaska. We have lots of people from the South Side. We have lots of people from Holman. We have people from West Salem. And yet we want to work towards, how do we equip you to be able to plant churches and do ministry where God has put you? Now, you're probably hearing that, and that brings up a ton of questions, right? And John said it well. He said it well in the sense that, like, we didn't come out with, like, steps A to Z for 10 years. We came out with a trajectory. But there are a lot of questions of still probably the why of church planning, but also the how of it. And I can answer a couple things. One, I can answer the why for sure. I know for each of us that we sort of settle on the idea that the big church model, the Bethanys and the First Frees, great for them, but we just don't feel like that's a very effective model for making disciples, and we all felt very unified in that. Two, again, we don't just want to be a church in La Crescent, but a church that reaches La Crescent and its people with the gospel. Okay, it's easy to be a church in a city, but it's something else to be a church that's for the city. And we want to be a church for the city. Three, realizing that God has blessed us with a lot of people from other communities. Again, we believe that we have a unique opportunity to send people, to send you into your local community to do the work of the ministry. And then four, again, we don't just want to be a church that's about doing church together. We want to be a part of a gospel movement, right? And I've heard many of you say at different times that we have a unique opportunity here in the Cooley region, right? And it's been said in different ways and, you know, maybe a different emphasis, but yet at the same time, I think that's true. I think we do have a unique opportunity to reach the Cooley region and to send people into this region to do the work, the ministry. And so that's sort of our heart behind the why. Now, the how? Good question. We don't have a lot of answers right now, and there are definitely a lot of unknowns. However, again, thinking about our trajectory, We do know that there are general areas that we do need to focus on. One, prayer, right? We need to be a church that prays. And in a little bit, I'm going to hand it over to Dan, and he's going to talk more about that. Two, we need to be preparing ourselves as elders in the body of Christ for the work of the ministry and specifically for planting. There's a lot of preparation, study, and just asking lots of questions about what is this actually going to look like. There's going to be a lot of those discussions in the next, not only months and year, but even few years. Again, there's going to be a lot of research and planning on our end as elders. We need to become a church that not only loves and serves one another, but our local community. And the reason that that needs to be a big emphasis, not only because it's biblical, so we want to do it because the Bible tells us to, but also we want to be a church that has something to export, right? So if we are loving and serving one another in our local community, then we can export that. If we're not doing that and then we're just trying to plant churches, it's probably going to fail, right? So we want to make sure that we are doing that well here, that we are reaching our community well, not only because we want to see God transform this community, but so we have something to export into other communities. Lost my place. Oh, leadership development. Again, I already talked about that. We believe that that's huge. And in particular for us, one area that continually, I don't know if concern's the right word, but we're at least talking about, is there are five of us up here, and none of us are getting younger. And we need people that, I mean, he's going backwards. Yeah. But we need other godly men to be raised up as elders, and we need to be doing that work, right? And even John says it this way, where we don't want to get into, is it think tank? Is that what you, groupthink, that's what it is. We don't want to get into groupthink, where, like, we can all agree with each other, and yet maybe we need some other voices in there to help us to think differently. So that's part of it as well. And then also comes facility assessment. Does our current facility help us or hinder us in the process, and what may need to change? Again, so obviously we've talked about, like, briefly this idea of, and people have asked the question, do we expand? Do we not, to try to get everybody into one service and things like that? And so now we're trying to think about that conversation in light of fulfilling this vision. Do we need to expand? Do we not? And in fact, one of the things that we have done is somebody brought it to us that the property behind us, kind of past the tree line, has come up for sale. And so again, we're at least just doing some fact-finding. We're in that process to even say, what would that look like? We don't know. We don't know if we're going to do anything with that or not, but at the same time, we're even trying to work through that in light of, if God has called us to plant churches, is that something we need to pursue, or is it not something we need to pursue? So that's sort of the basic framework of the how, and particularly areas we believe that we need to pursue. So with that, and I'm almost done here, is where do we start? Right? We at least need to have some place to start. One, for us as elders, it begins with a lot of research. There's going to be a lot of reading books and a lot of discussions that are going to happen over the next year to help us sort of formulate a plan, or at least the initial steps of a plan. And then two, part of that is also going to be bringing in somebody who specializes in church planning. Like, the five of us, we know very little about church planning, very little. And so we need people to come in who are experts in this area to sort of help us to say, how do we assess where we're currently at, and yet where do we need to go? And so we're going to be bringing some outside help in. There are some great resources that I know Dan's found through the Southern Baptist Convention. The EFCA has some resources. Obviously, even through the organization that we support, To Every Tribe, they have great resources, because church planning, as they send out missionaries, church planning is a lot of what they do. So we're going to be working through who we need to be bringing in to help us with that. And then second, one of the other emphases that we're going to have over the next year is prayer. And for that, I'm going to turn that over to Dan.
Just so you know, clearly God is confirming this, because I heard trumpets. Three times. We as elders, I can say this for me. I feel like Abraham in many ways when God said, go to a place I will show you. And he had to go back home and say, hey, babe, we're packing everything up. This is what God's telling us to do. And I'm sure the family had questions they couldn't answer, that Abraham couldn't answer. He couldn't answer them. And so in that sense, we're trusting God that this is his direction. One of the things we did feel very strongly about is that the foundation for anything that God calls us to will be prayer. We have got to pray. And so what we sensed was that the Lord was laying upon our hearts that we would take the next year and focus on prayer in every ministry in this church, starting in September. It will be a focus of prayer. We will learn about prayer, but we're not just going to read books about it. We're actually going to do something, which sounds crazy. We're going to pray, okay? And we're just going to, I personally believe this, that the prayer will be the foundation of this vision, and not just for the first year, but beyond. And I believe in my heart that in this next year, God is going to change the culture of prayer in this church. I have to say, I'm looking forward to it because I'm expecting to grow in my prayer life. And I know I need to. And to learn how to pray in a more, just to learn to pray better is the best way I can describe that. And so I'm looking forward to it as well. But we just feel like for this next year, that's what we need to do. We need to take the ministries, men's ministry, women's ministry, small groups, and learn about prayer, but also spending time in prayer. And beyond that, having certain focuses throughout this next year. Part of what I'm planning on doing on my sabbatical is I'm going to lay out a one-year plan for prayer within this church. What would be the focus for this month? What would be the focus for this month? So when we're praying in our small groups and we're praying in places, we know that, okay, we're going to focus on this particular area of prayer now. And hopefully, by God's grace, it'll just be building one precept upon the other as we continue to grow in prayer. That's why I really feel that God is going to change the culture of prayer in this church, regardless of the vision, as part of it. And so we'll grow in our prayer. So I'm planning on taking quite a bit of my time laying that out, looking at, I'm going to be looking for prayer cards, something maybe we can give people regularly, you know, something already made up. Here's how to pray for your family. Here's how to pray for the government. Here's how to pray for your leaders. Here's how to pray for your lost friends. And something that, some concrete hard things that you could take with you that will help you in your prayer. So we really feel that that's going to be the foundation to accomplish this vision, because we know we can't. And I'm glad, because if we had a vision that we could do in our own strength, it probably wasn't God. So when I look at this and I say, good, this is going to take God to do this, that's exactly where I want to be, where we got to lean on God to do this thing. And so that's where we're going to be. And I'm excited about it. So that's kind of the year of prayer that we're looking at. Real quick, my sabbatical starts next week, Monday. I'll be gone for 12 weeks. Two of those weeks are vacation. 10 of them are for sabbatical. I'm planning on going to, Lisa and I are planning on going to Florida for the first couple weeks. Then I come back, and if God wants me to go to Ghana, then I'll be going to Ghana. Yeah. See Prince Paul, where I'll spend some time. My brother Pat is coming with me, and he is a school teacher trained as a principal in the New York City School District with Prince Paul's new school coming on board. Prince Paul wants to take the Western-style school and do it in Ghana. And so Pat's going to go there to help them set up some things, answer some questions. I'm going there mostly to just kind of touch base, see some of the churches that we've supported, kind of bring back a report from that ministry there. So I'll be gone to Ghana for about 8-9 days. And then when I come back, I'll be working on the year of prayer. So if you're part of a ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, I'll be contacting you. We're going to be looking for studies that focus on prayer. I'm not going to be mandating, or I shouldn't say me, the elders are not going to be mandating you must do this, but we want to give you options in the different ministries, men's and women's ministries, small groups. Here's a great study on prayer. choose one of these, you know, if you want. But we just, again, we don't want to have an hour and 15-minute meeting, and we're going to study about prayer for an hour, and then we're going to pray for 15 minutes. Okay, we want to pray. We want to bring this to the King and have him, you know, stand back and watch the glory of your God. Amen? So that's kind of where we're at, and I think that's pretty much what I had to say.
So before I open it for questions, Eric or Steve, anything you want to add?
When it comes to prayer, there's two things that we as the church need to remember. Number one, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." So prayer puts us in a place where we be still. And in our culture that is a rat race, be still. Secondly, and this is really important, prayer is all about trusting God. In fact, the outcome of prayer should be focused on trusting God, not trusting in the outcome of our prayers. Remember that. Be still. Trust God. That will take us to a deeper level in our prayer.
Just a point of also encouragement that this planting of Christ-centered churches is something that we do see that God is doing, that God wants us to join us in, wants us to join him in that. And so realize that this is also, you know, we hear time and time again how what we have here at LEFC is unique when it comes to its doctrine, its preaching, and its emphasis. These are things that we also do feel like the Lord is possibly doing here in the Cooley region. So to just realize that this is something that we want to join God in doing. And this isn't just a manufactured, man-made, five men. But we heard God's voice. We feel like this is what he's saying, join me in. So.
Yeah, and just something that I preach from the pulpit. Prayer is not about us bending God our way. It's about him bending us his way. Or him bending us his way. So we got to remember that.
So my final comment before I open it for questions is, Dan said it, and Matt Chandler, whose church is also rolling out their own new vision, made similar comments, and that's, if we had all the answers, that probably wouldn't be the best thing. But because we don't have the answers, we have to lean on God. We have to trust him. And as the years progress, right, we'll be diligently moving along the path. So if we're going towards Chicago, let's trust God that we're going towards Chicago. If it looks like we're heading for Door County, that's okay. He might be just taking us on. Well, yeah. But my point is that we don't have all the answers today. We might not have all the answers in 2 years or in 4 years. God's going to be getting us along the way, and he may just give us enough light to see the next step or two along the way. So with that, I'll open up for questions, maybe focused on the vision first, and then we'll move on to other questions, broader questions for us if you have them. So any questions about the vision, the retreat, anything on that? Melanie.
Short answer is no. We have done, and again, that's part of the initial process of even saying not only what do we need to be focusing on, but how do we need to be focusing in on it. And so we believe that that's going to be part of particularly what God does in this next year as we're working through the next steps. We know that leadership development and disciple making, obviously, that's what we're called to do is make disciples. But yet to have a greater look at what does that look like? What does that need to look like not only in our personal lives and how we disciple people, but what does that need to look like in what we're doing in the structure of our church on Sunday mornings and in the other ministries. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that we're going as far as like blowing everything up, but at the same time, we want to hold even what we currently do with an open hand to say, okay, God, what's the best way to make disciples? And to really try to formulate a plan that's going to lead to real deep fruit in people's lives, and hopefully again to sending people out to do that ministry.
So for those of you who are taking notes, prayer request number one, right? We need help in getting over that hump of saying, okay, now how do we actually put a discipleship making plan into practice, a leadership development plan? Because we've talked about leadership development as long as I've been on the Elder Council. So that's 5+ years, right? But where are we in that process? We're not any further along than we were 5.5 years ago. So put that on me. But the fact is, prayer. So be praying for that for us. Question?
Part of that prayer for us is that we're praying for God to raise up men who do aspire to be elders, not just those who want to minister. We appreciate that. We thank them for them who want to use their gifts. But we're also praying that God would bring along people who do aspire to be elders. That's along that prayer.
Sue?
Okay. I wrote this down because I can't remember.
Sure. So the question is accountability. You all are accountability, right? And I know that sounds a little trite. It's not meant to be trite. It's meant to be very serious, right? We serve at your pleasure. You have elected us to be your elders, and if we're not, and Ryan said it, I think it was Ryan said it. If we're not eldering well in the current, what's going on day to day, you have to let us know, because we can, and I see this at work, in my own staff, and in my own job, I can be cruising along doing a lot of stuff and putting a lot of stuff in my whiteboard and a lot of stuff in spreadsheets and getting a lot of stuff accomplished, and then come to the end of the annual review and go, well, you forgot about this, you forgot about this, you forgot about this. Like, well, it'd be helpful if you told me that before the annual review so I could course correct. So please, if we're not eldering well, let us know. On the flip side, if we are eldering well, let them know, right? Please. Especially these two gentlemen.
Well, I think that's a great answer. It's really good. And I assume, I didn't have any frequency knowledge. I just was trying to kind of figure that out. Mm-hmm. And then so what, just for me, so the norm is to attend meetings with the elders, or how do you approach that? And do we send you, it seems like, do we send you individually emails to encourage or
So the process we established 3 years ago, 4 years ago, if there's a, especially if there's a critique, if there's a compliment, send it to the whole Elder Council, let them all know that they're doing a great job. If there's a critique, send it to me or approach me directly, whichever you're more comfortable with, and then we can process that. Matthew 18 sort of way to go. If there's a personal issue with a pastor or an elder, then Matthew 18, I would suggest you talk with them first before you get me involved.
One final.
Yes.
This just comes as a question, suggestion. I know years ago we had a Wednesday prayer meeting devoted to prayer. And Charlotte Straw, and then, as things were weakened out. And I'm wondering if there's any consideration or possibility that maybe that would be revisited since it's going to be a year of prayer.
Sure. Steve or Dan?
Yes. exactly how everything will. We would like times of corporate prayer that are focused specifically on corporate prayer, although they may be tied in with some worship as well. Not every time, but some. So, yes, that's part of what we want to do. We need to pray together. Okay, we do. And people say, have a lot of reasons why they don't want to. Maybe that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit has to get us past. Okay? And in order to do that, we have to have venues for that to happen. And one of them will be some sort of a midweek regular time of intercession.
And just also one last thing I wanted to say to your first question was also the sense of, as we're working through how God is going to get us there, inevitably, like, we want to prepare you for the reality that ministry probably will change. How we do ministry will change. And so it's not just going to be, we're just going to keep doing business as usual, right? While then also pursuing this thing over here, because we want to make sure that as God is moving us forward, that we obviously, as we seek him, that we're shaping the ministry in a way that's going to help accomplish that vision.
And one thing that has changed, Ryan mentioned it, I think, once or twice in his comments. We as elders are beginning to ask this question whenever anything comes up to us of any substance. How does this fit in the vision? So whatever it is, not everything, but like we're going to change that clock and make it green instead of red numbers. That probably doesn't matter. But other things, the property down there, if we're going to put cement parking lot instead of paved parking lot, those sorts of things, how does that fit? How does that help us with the vision, or does it help us with the vision? So you're going to hear that more from us as you bring ideas to us. That's not meant to be a put off or offensive in any way. It's just meant to be, that's our part of our new metrics of evaluating things going forward. Yeah, I would. I think we've always had a pretty healthy perspective on our role as elders, and we didn't necessarily get out of whack with that. We did have a recent announcement about the diaconate and kind of taking the next year to reset the diaconate ministry, which will then help. That'll give a good balance between preaching the word and prayer at this level, and then the diaconate being the men and women who are leading in service. But beyond that, I think what we have now is not a better, but a different filter by which, when people bring ministry ideas to us, it's not that we would say no to everything, we won't, but we will ask the question, at least of ourselves, is this ministry idea helping us towards the vision or not? And that's something I think we need to be more serious of the further we go along this path, right? We're just starting, obviously, but as we go, we want to say, okay, is this helping us towards becoming a local church that plants other local churches? Steve? Oh, Ken's question, if I can summarize it, was in Acts, the apostles came to a realization, I think it was in Acts 6, where they were getting bogged down in doing ministry of the table, serving the widows and the orphans, and that was the driver for them to establish the diaconate in the first church. And he was just asking, is this our framing of asking the question, does this new ministry idea help form the, does help put us forward in fulfilling the mission? Is that the essence of that question? And I think it's kind of, it sort of is, but it's also sort of the whole idea of what we're also going to be working on this year is reshaping the diaconate. We put the current diaconate on hold, push, pause, and we're coming back, and we're going to be trying to raise up individuals who have a diaconate mindset. And so we'll have a new diaconate rolling out in the spring of 2021, which will be more, I want to say, more framed around the way it was in Acts 6. Yes. Emily.
If there are, so how do we land on planting in the Cooley region, and particularly if there are so many churches already in the Cooley region, you know, basically why would we be planting more churches, especially there's a lot of evangelical free churches? I think there are two things. One, there are very few churches in the Cooley region focusing well on their local community. We have a lot of, especially our two biggest free churches, which are Bethany and First Free, they do really well in the sort of attractional idea of gathering people from around the Cooley region. But there's not a great local focus of focusing on local communities and reaching those communities. And so I think that that's, one, that's part of it. Two, I do think that our theology, again, we believe what we believe because we believe it's right. Right, I mean, and we hold that loosely, always realizing that, like, we always want to know that we could be wrong, but at the same time, we wholeheartedly believe what we believe, and we really believe that we're very unique in this region. Now, we've learned recently that there are a couple other churches around the region that actually are probably more aligned with our Reformed understanding of Scripture, which is great. We're excited about that. But we do believe that there is unique opportunity to see God spread that here in this region. And then also, so I guess I have three, sorry. The third one is Ed Stetzer wrote a book called Missional Church Planting. And one of the things that he noted is, statistically speaking, that churches that plant new churches, right, do a much better job of actually reaching and converting people to Christianity, of creating new believers, where a lot of times churches that just sort of stick in their own little kind of bubble actually very often become what he called institutional or ingrown. And I do think it's very telling that most of the church growth that happens in the area is transfer growth from one church to another, and we have to admit that we are part of that as well. In fact, I hate even saying this, but in the 5 years I've been here, I've known of one person coming to Christ through the ministry of La Crescent Free since I've been here. And that, like, that should break our hearts. And so that would be my answer to that. So,
and Emily, I would say this too. God will tell us. You know, is it limited to the Cooley region at this time? Could it be Winona? Could it be? We don't know. I'm just trusting God to lead us. So we're holding it with an open hand. At least I am.
Yeah. Well, maybe the first one first, or maybe the second one first. I'll do the women's ministry one first because that's easier. We really have put a lot of faith and confidence in the women's ministry leadership team, and I think that we would continue to do that. they want to grow that ministry, have additional foci, that would be we would be on them. If they're looking for guidance from us, we certainly would give them feedback and direction. But really, we would want to be trusting the women's ministry team to be doing that. Your first question again? Reaching out in the community, yeah.
So I think what I would say is, again, so this goes back, just like Melanie asked about making disciples, our plan for that. Again, we don't have, we're just in the beginning stages of saying, what does this need to look like? So I think particularly in this local community, there is a unique opportunity. We are the only gospel preaching church in La Crescent for the most part. And so there is a great opportunity to reach out, to get more involved in local things that are happening here and to be able to influence those things with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So at this point, we don't know exactly what that looks like. I know for myself, one of the big things that I've been able to do is get into the local schools here and make connections that way. I have a pretty good relationship with the principal at the high school, also because of our kids going to school here. I've been able to make connections at their school as well, and so we're building relationships that might turn into something into ways that we can invest. You know, one of the things that we talked about made a connection with the middle school counselor, and she does the parenting with love and logic course. And I just even asked her, "Hey, would there be a possibility at some point in the future maybe you could do that at our church?" I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Like, that isn't something that we've put pen to paper on. But even just that, making those local connections, finding ways that we can, again, begin to not only give you opportunities to invest in the local community and things that we're doing, but also to make that a regular thing that we do as well. So, but we're still just in the beginning stages of that.
Cyrus. You guys have to help me out. Diane's on there. Oh, the question was, who's on the women's leadership team?
Our committee is Donna Luclair, Elizabeth Hatton, Sally Young, and myself. But we are definitely open to others joining us. Is that your question?
Yeah, thank you.
So we need as a committee to make decisions about what study we're going to do next, and scholarships and events and things like that. And then we submit
Melanie.
So I'm with my logic hat on, and I know we want the spirit to lead us. I'm totally all for that, but there's logic too. So I have a question that you guys meet twice a month, and there's a lot to discuss and a lot to figure out. Is that really enough time for you guys to do that? And then, second of all, do you have a list, like, Dan's gone this summer. Are you guys going to still, like, start praying about some of these things? I mean, I think the first thing, obviously, is leadership and development and discipleship. It seems like the most important initially in prayer. Are you going to put that on a priority list, like, first thing first, and have a deadline for yourself to say, we need some kind of plan by this date so that all the other stuff in the elder world that we don't know that happens that gets distracted from these goals don't get lost? Like, we need to have a plan by this date.
It does, and so the short answer is yes, all of that. The good thing is we have first year more or less taken care of. Dan's taking that on, so through his sabbatical, he will be fine-tuning this, what we're calling the year of prayer, which he mentioned and he walked through. So so when he gets back, we'll have the more specifics on what that looks like, and then that will be rolled out to the congregation over the course of the summer to kick off with the fall kickoff. So that, in one sense, buys us a year. And so over the course of the sabbatical, course of the summer into the fall, we're starting to put meat on the bones on some of these other things. What does it look like to get involved in the local community? Are there opportunities that we can craft and create for you all, not just specific things for Ryan, but for everybody to be getting involved with that sort of thing? Think of the clothing drive or whatever we had. The Suits for Success. Now, I know that wasn't specific for La Crescent, but it was a local thing, right? It was helping people in the local area. More of those things, the birthright bottles. We can be doing more of that, finding opportunities, doing things like that, putting more bean on the bones there. And then the other thing I think that will be high on the priority list is, all right, we've been, and I said this, right, 5.5 years we've been talking about leadership development. All right, let's get serious, guys. What does that look like? How do we push that forward, put some structure to it, start feeling out our men and seeing where they're at. So
just to put a bow on that, I think, yes, we are going to be praying while Dan is gone, but we also don't want to make a ton of, like, this is what we're going to do decisions while Dan is gone. And so when he comes back in June, July, and August, not only getting ready for the year of prayer, but also hopefully coming up with some definitive things like here is what we want to accomplish this year, and to have goals so that we can, again, so speaking of the accountability portion, that we can then present those things to you as things that we do want to accomplish so that you can hold us accountable, because that's important.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize this too. This isn't about the elders doing this. This is about us doing this. God is calling us to do this. So be led by the Holy Spirit in your prayer for us. This is something that God is going to have to birth in all of us, and he is going to do that. And so we'll trust that as we, I mean, you know now, you can start praying this afternoon. And that's not to push off our responsibility, but we desperately need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to raise up leaders. We desperately need him to do all this work. But he's going to do it through us as a body. And that's important for me to communicate, is that we can't do it as five elders. But as a body of Christ, God can do it through us. And I believe that. I'm not just saying that. So.
And yeah, just to add a couple things. First, to what Dan just said, and to realize that as a plurality of elders, when we make decisions together, we had to make them together. So it's one of those things where it may slow down the process to what you may feel like should be pretty cut and dry things to do, but realize that we're trying to get the heart of the elders together all on one page with that. But also, to your question, Melanie, also realize we have some things in the coffer that we've been working on for months that we will be rolling out in the next few months after Dan is also back from sabbatical. So some of the things that we have been working on, we just haven't been able to bring to light to the rest of the congregation. May seem like, oh, what does this have to do with the vision? What does it have to do with the plans? Those things are things that we've been setting up for quite a number of months, and that we'll be in the process of just starting all that and bringing that to you guys. So to realize that you know, we're trying to take things in succession.
Trying to
Yeah, Ken was basically saying, this is, you know, it's not, it's a body thing that we can't just kind of download to the elders, but this is something that the body has to do as a whole, and we've kind of pushed, you know, we've kind of, like evangelism, well, that's for the evangelist, but we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to be, you know, I know some of you are gifted with intercession. I mean, you could pray for hours. Okay, well, then pray for us to be able to pray, and for all of us, yeah. And for the elders. So, yeah, we're all going to use our gifts. That's what God's calling us to. He's not calling us to just five guys. He's calling us as a body, and he will raise up people. He will anoint gifts, and he will use those things for his glory to reach the lost, to bring him glory in the things that we're doing because, again, it's going to take God.
The idea that like the gospel-centered discipleship will be the outcome, will take care of the rest of it. And I think that is what we mean. We do particularly emphasize leadership development in a particular way. I think, as I said earlier, we're looking at the five of us here, realizing that none of us are getting any younger except for Steve. That's a particular area of concern for us is developing other elders.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. I'm just looking at the clock. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm glad you all stayed. But we're approaching an hour. I don't want to cut this off at all, but if you have to go, please know that you're free to go. This is not a quorum voting type meeting. We're not quarantined yet. All right. So, John. Oh, Lisa. Can't say it any better than that. Any other questions? Jim. Steve has a couple.
It would be the nursing home for sure, where we're ministering to those who people don't like to get involved with, and so. In the essence of Christ-centeredness in an aspect of reaching out to those who are lonely, who are lost, who need a visit. And I would encourage you, if you are interested in serving those type of people that reside in nursing homes, of which we have one in La Crescent, we have assisted living at Springbrook now, I would encourage you to see me, because we would love to have you join that outreach to the elderly. And so we do that now, I think. Yeah. Communication thing, absolutely. Got to be better at that.
So, Jim, part of the goal is to lead people to Christ. So even if they're stuck in the nursing home, right? They're still, so that's building disciples. I know, and we're working on it. Right?
Yeah.
The point being that we see the lack of that, and yet realizing that we need to focus on that, and we need to pray, and really ask God what does God want that to look like for us. So absolutely.
Let me ask a question: what do you have a passion for?
Yeah.
Where's your heart at that you can come to the elders and say, I have a burden for this. I want to help reach this community in this area, because there's only 5 guys up here. So part of it is where's your heart at? Where's the Holy Spirit drawing you? Where do you have a passion to be used by God for His glory to serve others and come to us? Because I think too many times, as Laura said, part of the problem, I think the sickness in the church is everything we feel has to come from top down, when I think something that God's calling us to is from the bottom up so much. When we seek God in prayer, the Holy Spirit isn't just going to be speaking to 5 guys up here. He's going to be speaking to the body of Christ. And if the Holy Spirit lays something on your heart, you bring it to the elders. That might be something that He's confirming the direction that we're sensing. So, you know, this is about us. And how that's going to work, I can't wait to see. I just cannot wait to see.
Amen. All right. Any other questions? All right. I hate to stand between people in the sunny day. I do, because this is a town hall meeting, it's family conversation, I do want to open up an opportunity for questions outside the vision statement, not requiring questions, but if you have anything beyond just what we've talked about, laid out in front of you for us. Obviously, we're always available on Sunday morning to answer your questions, but if you have a question now, I'll give you an opportunity to ask.
Do you guys have a youth volunteer committee,
or if you want to get ourselves involved in volunteering during summer specifically? Yes, so I would say, as far as... depends on what you want to get them involved in, but I would be, if you're talking about your students, I would be the person that you would talk to about that. I mean, obviously, we do have a summer youth group that happens, and so we have that going on. We have a couple of other opportunities in the summer, but yeah, just we can talk about it and see what you had in mind.
Right. Yeah, committee of one. Anything else? All right, hearing nothing, let me pray, and then we can go and enjoy the beautiful day that God has blessed us with. Father, we do thank you again for just drawing us here together as brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and helping us to have a good family conversation. Lord, thank you so much for just starting us on this journey, or really in one sense continuing us on the journey that was started so many years ago. And Father, we know that we don't have all the answers. In fact, we don't even have many of the answers, but we do have a sense of your leading and your guiding, the trajectory that you've set us on to become a church that plants other local churches. And so, Father, as you lead us, even today, Spirit, as you prompt us to pray, help us to pray along those lines, as we pray for the leadership, as we pray for the membership, as we pray for the people that you will bring into this body next week, next month, next year. Lord, even the young ones who are now 3 months, 6 months, a year old, who are going to be growing up in this church over the next 10 years, help them to hear the gospel and to respond to it and become deeply devoted followers of Jesus. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. Amen. Thank you very much. Enjoy the day.